what evidence that God created the stars and everything the way we see it today, 6,000 years ago, do you have?
The heavens declare the glory of God.
So you have no evidence.
Of what?
What I just asked you.
About how far we can see?
What evidence do you have that the universe was created billions of light years across 6,000 years ago?
The Bible.
That's what you call evidence.
It's a historical document.
Do you consider this to be science, what you're doing?
Yeah.
Can you give me any evidence outside of the Bible that the universe is 6,000 years old?
Yeah, you look at the amount of salt in the sea. There's not billions of years of salt in the sea. You look at the erosion rate.
Give me evidence that it's 6,000 years old, not that it's not some other number.
Okay, that is 6,000. That was Dr. Russell Humphreys. He accurately predicted the magnetic field of Uranus and Neptune in 1984, and we've got magnetic. The half-life of the Earth's magnetic field is 1,400 years. And so if we're billions of years old, why do we still have a magnetic field? Because like 10 or 20,000 years of it being stronger and stronger and stronger is going
to
destroy
the planet.
I
need you to give me a process that gets you precisely to 6,000 years.
Well, yeah, that's what he did. The magnetic field of Uranus and Neptune, he was accurate. Before NASA got out there, he accurately predicted that the magnetic field based on a 6,000-year model, and because they thought it won't have one, and it does. And even America, yeah. And so
people thought that Uranus and Neptune wouldn't have magnetic fields?
The Big Bangers back then. They're supposed to be billions of years old.
Who thought that those specific planets, which are compositionally not different... I didn't ask you if somebody else is wrong. I'm asking you for how do you get me to 6,000 years?
Their prediction. He accurately predicted the magnetic field of Uranus and Neptune and he used a 6,000-year model. The Big Bangers had it way different.
How does it work? Is there any science behind how magnetic fields form and decay over time according to creationism?
Well, it decays.
How? How does any of this work?
Well, it decays. Yeah, and it decays, and we can't be 20,000 years old because it would be so strong back then based on the half-life that we have now.
It can't be part of an oscillating trend?
Well, you can imagine it if you want, but we don't have evidence of that.
So you don't have evidence that precludes a longer date in that case.
Well, not without making a rescuing device called a dynamo. You can imagine that, but there's no evidence for that. And a dynamo doesn't work with Uranus anyway because the magnetic core isn't on its axis. And so it's not going to work. Plus, it doesn't have measurable heat, and so it can't happen. And then Mercury's got a magnetic field too, and that's too small to have a dynamo. And so there's a lot of problems with that billions of years thing, but we never get to read about it. Astronomy points to a 6,000 years.
Oh,
and Russell Humphreys.
Anyways, I'm gonna reclaim my time here. So.
No, you asked me for evidences, and that's geology.
I'm cross-examining you, so I'm reclaiming my time.
Well, no,
that's how it works.
You asked me for evidences, and I gave you one. I can give you three.
You've been rambling,
and you haven't
given me an example that gets to 6,000 years. Well, so, Brian. What is the range?
The mutation rate. The mutation rate goes back to 6,000 years. It doesn't go back millions or thousands of years.
No, it doesn't. John Sanford, who's a hack, he forces those models. I've read his scientific paper about this that proposes that African Americans have defective DNA repair structures, by the way. Because that's the kind of crap you have to say to force a conclusion into a model rather than doing real science. Brian, I need to ask you my next question here. What is the range of acceptable answers for how far should we be able to see given that the universe is 6,000 years old?
Well, as far as the telescopes can go.
What's the range of acceptable answers?
As far as they can, whatever technology They can look as far as the technology lets them look.
I'm not asking you about technology. I'm asking you what's the range. I'm not asking you the limits of technology. What is the acceptable range for how far we should be able to see if the universe was created 6,000 years ago?
As far as technology allows us. We can see as far as...
I'm not asking you about technology. So you're just saying the answer is whatever the answer is.
No, we can see as far as the technology allows us to see. That's what I'm saying. There's no range for how far we can see. We can see as far as the range, as far as technology.
You're completely misunderstanding my question. So if I said a car's been driving at 100 miles an hour for 1 hour, the acceptable range of answers is really small.
Well, that's different. Driving and seeing is different.
No, not fundamentally when it comes to this observation. No, not really. So if the universe is only 6,000 years old, what I'm trying to get to is, why do we see for billions of light years? How is that in any way congruous with 6,000-year creation?
God made the stars on 6 days, and then he stretched out the heavens.
What evidence of that do you have?
That's why we got the accelerating. Our universe is expanding at an accelerating rate, and you have to figure out imagine dark energy doing that.
What evidence that God created the stars and everything the way we see it today 6,000 years ago do you have?
The heavens declare the glory of God.
So you have no evidence.
Of what?
What I just asked you.
About how far we can see?
What evidence do you have that the universe was created billions of light years across 6,000 years ago?
The Bible.
That's what you call evidence.
It's a historical document.
Do you consider this to be science? What you're doing?
Yeah.
In what way is this science?
We look at all the evidence, put it all on the table, and we don't exclude one view. You know, it's like you got the creation model and the Big Bang or the blind chance model, and the blind chancers have eliminated.
So you accept the Hindu perspective of creation?
I don't know what that is.
Do you accept it?
I don't know. Do they have a book that's historically, archaeologically, and prophetically, and scientifically accurate?
You have that?
Yeah.
For crying out loud. So how is it that we can see billions of light years, given that the universe is only 6,000 years old, and light would not have been able to travel billions of years in that amount of time?
Well, you got the same light problem. It's called the horizon problem.
How
you
answer the question.
Okay. What? How is that? God stretched out the heavens.
What evidence of that do you have?
He made the stars and he stretched them out.
What evidence of that do you have?
It says that several times in the Bible. He stretched it out. He stretched it out.
That's not evidence. What evidence of that do you have? How can you explain this scientifically?
I believe he created everything with the word of his mouth.
That's a scientific explanation to you?
Well, there's science that backs it up.
Such as?
Semantics.
What?
Semantics.
What is semantics?
It's the science of visible sound.
What does that have to do with the universe being billions of light years across?
Well, if he can make stuff with his voice, he can do that.
I'm asking for evidence of... What? What does this thing about sound waves have to do with the universe being billions of light years across?
It has to do with him creating it. The Bible says that by the word of his testimony, by his word, he made stuff. And you know, by his word, the faith through understanding, the worlds that were framed by the word of God. And so by his word, that's what he did. And there's a science called semantics that is kind of validating that.
In what way does it validate that the universe is only 6,000 years old?
Well, it's just, not the age, but that sounds can produce things.
So you think that, where on earth do we go from here? Did God use the laws of physics to create the universe?
Well, he didn't use the first law because that's matter from nothing. He made matter from nothing. He didn't do the second law because he organized it real well. And also the law of biogenesis. Well, I guess a life giver did give life. And the rest of it, he probably did with semantics.
In addition to autographed copies of both my books and, of course, Spanky, I'm excited to announce that I now have stickers, tumblers, apparel, and more on my store. Take Spanky, the God-Defeating Penguin, and can you put that into a logical syllogism with you wherever you go now?
I was really just looking for a yes or no. Did God use the laws of physics to create the universe?
I wasn't there.
So you have no idea?
Well, I think Semitics can... I think there's evidence that words can create things. I think there's evidence for that.
Could you give one example other than the thing we're discussing here, which is the creation of the universe?
Can I share my screen?
I don't care.
Is that possible there, Donnie?
Yeah, sure.
What do I have to do?
Just click the present entire screen.
Okay.
And we can
entire screen. Share screen, the entire screen.
And just for time, you're just less than 11 minutes.
Don't count this. Give him extra time.
I got it paused. No worries.
Yeah.
John Stuart Reed of Keswick, England, is the co-inventor of a new instrument called the cymoscope. It converts sound into three-dimensional geometric images in water. Sound effects matter in surprising ways, a mystery that has recently deepened.
Cymatics is the science of visible sound. Here we have the beautiful song of a humpback whale. Some of this geometry that we're seeing is just exquisitely beautiful.
Okay, like I've seen
a trilobite. It made a trilobite.
Well, it roughly looks like a trilobite.
Yeah.
It didn't make a trilobite. That's not a starfish. That's something with five vertices.
Okay, yeah, but... And then it makes these images, the sound.
Okay.
So
did God create the universe by using physical sound waves?
I don't know. He just said, and God said, well, actually, you know, we can take a look at what he said.
So,
okay. Well, basically, it's, you know, over and over again, and God said, and God said, and God said, let the waters bring forth, let the earth bring forth, let the light be in the firmaments. And God said, and God said, it's over and over again. And then we've got evidence that these things, that these vibrations in water look like trilobites and other things that are millions of years old. And I think that that's worthy of consideration.
The clouds look like things. And if I invent a religion that says everything was created by clouds, then all of a sudden I have evidence? No. I'm really trying to get... I can't tell if you're agnostic about this or if you're trying to avoid answering the question. Does God use the laws of physics to... perform his miracles?
Hey, I'm not God. I'm
so you have no idea.
I have no idea.
So should we discard the God hypothesis because it violates the laws of physics?
What's that?
Should we discard the God hypothesis from science because it violates the laws of physics?
Well, no, it just defeats the definition of science, not the laws of science. You define God out of the science book. Here's a science book that says it's limited to physical explanations. Here's another one that says our goal is to provide natural explanations. Another one says that it goes on to say that there's significant uncertainty about how life began. However, any questions that remain are about how evolution works, not whether it occurred. So they won't even allow a designer in the classroom.
Because it's not scientific.
Well, that's because you define it. You define science out of it. You say it's a naturalistic process.
You define your creator out of it. You said, yes, you do. You said, okay, are you going to retract your statement that an explanation that requires miracles is not scientific? Because you said that.
Well, that's because you go a little farther in the talk, and I say if you allow for God and the miracles at the beginning, you don't break any laws of physics. And what I'm talking about is changing the definition of science.
How does a miracle preserve the laws of physics?
What?
How does a miracle preserve the laws of physics?
How does a miracle preserve the laws of physics?
Yes. How is a miracle consistent with the laws of physics? A miracle, by definition, is the violation of the laws of physics.
Well, yeah, you tell me. You tell me where the matter came from without violating laws of physics. You tell me how it all got organized without violating laws of physics. You tell me how life
I've never given you an answer of where the universe came from.
I know. It's a perspective of the past, and you need to look into that.
Isn't a perspective. It's an admission of something, but it's not a perspective. You're trying to sell people that a miracle happened while saying that your system is scientific, while saying miracles, if you have a miracle in your explanation, it needs to be thrown out and it's not scientific. This is contradictory.
We all believe in miracles, Eric.
No, I don't.
Okay, then where did the matter come from?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it had to
happen. Is that a miracle? Is me saying I don't know what happened, me saying that a miracle happened?
Okay, just because you don't know how it happened doesn't mean it
didn't happen. The question was, if I say I don't know what happened, does that mean I'm claiming that a miracle happened?
Well, where did the matter come from?
The question is, if I say I don't know what happened, does that mean I'm claiming that a miracle happened?
That's semantics.
Yeah, so the question is, if I don't know what happened, am I claiming that a miracle happened?
Well, you're not claiming it, but you're...
Precisely.
But you still, it still had to happen in your worldview. You still had to have matter from nothing, life from non-life. It had to happen, whether you know how it happened or not. And if you don't know how it happened, how do you know God didn't do it?
Oh, what the heck?
Well, Eric, I think you went on mute.
Thanks. I'm just going to just go to the next thing, but it'll be along the same sort of theme. So, Brian, you claim that science is observable, testable, repeatable.
That's what the National Science National Center for Education. I mean, that's our textbook. It says it's testable. That's what our textbook says. So that's what I'm going with.
Sure. Does the past fit any of those categories?
Does the past fit if it's testable?
Testable, observable, testable, repeatable. Does the past fit any of those categories?
Well, if somebody observed it, yeah.
I'm talking about us today.
Yeah, there's forensics people. They figure out what happened in the past. There's, you know, things like that. But
why do you say evolution isn't science if it does the same kind of thing forensics does?
Because there's a lot of imagination in the assumptions.
Same with forensics.
Yeah. But there's...
Okay, so why is one not science then? They both make assumptions. They both operate on what happened in the past based on assumptions, but they look for evidence that they formed from those assumptions. But one is science and one is not science. How does that work?
Well, it's because you're looking so far in the past. There's so much assuming going on there.
Being afraid of big numbers is not an argument. What's the actual argument?
What?
That's so long ago. Hand wave it away. That's the best you can do for dealing with your hypocrisy of forensics is science, but evolution isn't science, when they're both scientific investigations of the past predicated on assumptions?
Well, yeah, there's a murder yesterday and there's got fresh evidence, but then there's these bones in the dirt. I mean, there's a lot of time for things to get misinterpreted there. And it all goes on. It all goes to our assumptions. You know, if you believe in blind chance, you're going to think millions of years. And if you believe in creation, you might think of...
Where is the blind chance in the evolutionary perspective?
Where's the designer in the evolutionary perspective?
You should have asked that question when it was your turn. Where is the blind chance?
Random mutations.
How is that blind chance?
How is it not blind chance?
Brilliant. Do you know what natural selection is?
Yeah.
Okay. Describe natural selection.
It explains the survival of the fittest, but not the arrival of the fittest. It can't explain how something got there.
There's a population of organisms, are a little bit different. What does natural selection do with that population?
natural selection doesn't do anything. It's not a person. It's not anything.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't have a teleology. It's a description of a process.
Right.
I know that you know this, so just quit avoiding the question. There is a population of organisms with, and they have variation among them. A lot of that variation is caused by these unpredictable mutations. What does the natural selection process do as a consequence to the population?
Yeah, they're unpredictable, random mutations.
I didn't ask you about the mutations. I asked you about natural selection.
Well, the ones that were adapted would survive better than the ones that weren't.
So it's not blind luck and random chance. There's a selective process involved in the entire thing.
I really hope that you quit
doing this ridiculous straw man where you conflate that mutations happen in an unpredictable manner with the evolution by natural selection process, because they're not the same. You've just admitted they're not the same. So I really hope you start being honest in the future.
Natural selection needs something to select.
Yeah, random a population chance. Of organisms.
Right, but you needed random chance to get there. How did this life begin? Random chance.
That has nothing to do.
There's nothing to select. That's a random chance. That's a blind chance.
No, it's not.
It's not a blind chance that life evolved?
No.
Where's this? Natural selection can't select anything that's not reproducing. So to get to that part, you have to have some...
You do know that we have autocatalytic chemical cycles that undergo natural selection, right? No, there's no chance you know that. Are you aware that we have been able to create synthetic autocatalytic chemical cycles that actually compete with each other in the lab?
You can't make a cell membrane.
Brilliant. So you don't know anything about it. So we have seen that chemical systems can actually compete against each other, and they're autocatalytic, which means they perpetuate their own. They have like a cyclical nature, which is what life is.
Yeah, they're highly concentrated too. They're not like that in nature. Highly concentrated chemicals. Highly concentrated chemicals in nature.
Have you read any research on like hydrothermal vents and the like the way we've found the Krebs cycle and Krebs cycle precursors near hydrothermal vents, and we've discovered these autocatalytic systems both in nature and in the lab?
So no. get your $10 million, Eric.
Because we can't answer this one particular question, the whole thing is therefore false. Brian, I'll give you $1 billion if you can tell me how God did anything.
He spoke it into existence.
I didn't ask. That's a description of how he did it?
Yeah.
Explain. Explain how he spoke it into existence.
Well, I think it probably had to do with semantics.
So you think that God used sound waves?
Well, he said he spoke it into existence. That's what he said. I've got no reason to doubt him.
So God is a physical being that uses sound waves?
I'm not sure how he did it.
Okay, so you don't get your $1 billion then because you have no idea.
Well, I can't. Yeah, his ways are way above my ways. Yeah, that's right. I'm not God.
Well, then quit calling it science. Can you name one scientific idea that's ever been disproven by Christianity? Or creation? I guess we can be more broad.
How about the geocentric universe? How'd that fall apart?
You're aware that it was Christians that were fighting. The Christians were the defenders of the geocentrism. Are you just not aware of that? They said, according to the Bible, because it says God made the sun stop moving for a day, that meant that it's the sun that's moving around the earth, not the other way around. That was their justification. They had a biblical justification for geocentrism.
Yeah, that's not how I heard it, but... Okay, so you want to know what science has that proven wrong?
What scientific idea has creationism ever proven wrong?
I would say the idea of the superior race.
I mean, that was a fringe and unscientific view held by just pretty despicable people.
Well, yeah, but it had, that's the logical conclusion.
It is not the logical conclusion. Okay. So luckily, science proved genetically that all human beings are the same, because Christianity's perspective is that God created races differently for certain races to be slaves of other races.
That's the
Christian perspective. Thank anything other than God, we don't have bullshit like that running around anymore. Thanks, science, for debunking the racism of Christianity. I think we're at the end of my time.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous straw man to mirror your position.
No, we're all of one blood. We all go back to Noah.
Not according to the Bible.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's
okay. Well, there were Christians that didn't think that way. So, in the exact same way that you said, there were racist people who had false scientific sounding ideas, that means that that's what science was, and thankfully Christianity disproved it. I'll just flip that right back at you. Jefferson Davis, that's your guy, the racist that said that blacks were created to be the slaves of whites. That's the Christian perspective. Luckily, we now know, thanks to genetics, that that's not true. Thanks, science.
Exciting news, I will be at DebateCon in Nashville this November. If you're in the area, click the link in the description to get your tickets.